comes loose to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Suter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marshall! Scores! Marshall! Scores!
Moving on. Rendemore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani. Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani.
Here comes Connor McDavid, shifting right by Riley, right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid!
Hey, it's Friday here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan, the man, Salas, of course, from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. On today's pod, I'll be joined by Alex Thomas from the Oilers rig and hockey broadcaster. You can connect with Alex at Alex_Thomas14. He's based out of Boston, so a very interesting story here on how he became an Oilers fan. We'll get into all of that with Alex. That's coming up in minutes from now, as we'll get into some Oilers stories, some wild card players and all that. We'll have some fun there with AT. Remember, you can connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods, as you can check out all the pods from the MLB, NHL, NBA, and of course the NFL. Not a lot of news on the Oilers front. I don't expect much to come. I mean, we still need clarification on the Klefbom situation. And once that gets settled and we know 100% what's going to happen there, we can start speculating on that money and where it's going to go and all that. And so again, you know, like we've talked about all week, it's going to be a slow time right now in the NHL as we hit that lull. And we wait for information on when we're going to have a season. And, you know, the AHL's up in the air as well. And we got dates for the WHL. But again, with COVID cases on the rise all over the country and in the U.S., it's anyone's guess here on when stuff is going to get started. I know the NHL will eventually get going, but it's going to be January, it's going to be February, how many games? So we wait for that information. Let's get into some noticias. Not much today so far as I record this on Friday morning. Yesterday, of course, Connor Brown signed 3 years for $10.8 million. We saw Jake Virtanen re-sign also with the Vancouver Canucks for 2 years at $5.1 million. A $2.55 million cap hit. Dominic Simon signs with the Flames, 1 year, $7,000. And then Dmitry Kulikov, which was a name I know we tossed around on this podcast or on the Two Guys podcast, that maybe you can get him for cheap here in Edmonton, but he ends up signing with the New Jersey Devils on a 1 year deal, $1.15 million cap hit there. So a nice little signing for the New Jersey Devils as they try to take a step forward. And I wouldn't, are they in a rebuild? I mean, sure. I mean, they're a young team. They've struggled mightily since their one playoff appearance when Taylor Hall was there and was the MVP. And then today, defenseman Louis Belpedio signs a 1 year, $700,000 deal with the Minnesota Wild. And it was also announced yesterday as the postponement of the 2021 Winter Classic and All-Star Game. The annual outdoor game was scheduled for January 1st at Target Field in Minnesota. And the All-Star Game was scheduled for January 30th in Sunrise, Florida. I mean, listen, I'm not a big... The outdoor games have kind of, you know, I've kind of soured on them. I'm not a big guy for those games. I don't watch a lot of them, to be quite honest. It's just, it's gotten old. It doesn't do it for me. I don't like the camera views. I don't like the game when it's outdoors. And it's weird. It's just one of those things. Like, I remember the first one here in Edmonton, and that was fun, and it was freezing that day and all that. But now it's like every year it's the same old song and dance. Not a fan of that, so sucks for the NHL, but I'm okay with not having a Winter Classic. And the All-Star Game, it got better with the 3-on-3, and, you know, you're playing, you know, with the divisions, and I don't know. I just, again, skills competition, I don't mind. I think it's fun on that Saturday to see that, and the guys kind of just mingling and having a good time and watching Connor McDavid try to win the fastest skater and all that. So yeah, the game, not so much. I mean, I'll have it on, but if I have stuff to do that day, the game is not important to me. I won't PVR it or anything like that. So I'm okay with no Winter Classic and All-Star Game this season. I mean, not surprising news, as the season is likely to be a shortened season, and just with the pandemic and all that, it just makes, I mean, no one is surprised that these two events were canceled. Just some other sports news. The World Series resumes today. It's Game 3 with a series tied at 1 between the Tampa Bay Rays and the LA Dodgers. And game four, goes tomorrow. So this has been a fun series. You saw Dodgers take it to the Rays in game one. Tampa Bay responded in game two. Always a good time. And just a fun little tidbit. On this day in 1993, Joe Carter hit one of the most iconic home runs in Blue Jays history. Of course, we all remember that. In Toronto versus the Philadelphia Phillies. I still remember where I was and celebrating. It was funny and weird because we were in the streets here in Edmonton and everybody was going crazy and honking. It was Canada's team. I mean, still is for some. I know my buddy Lowtide's a Montreal guy, but yeah, no one will ever forget that. If you're old enough, on this day, Joe Carter hit that iconic home run for the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's get to your question of the day here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. If Ken Holland could move one, who would you rather move, Alex Chiasson or JJ Kyra? Now, I know both fourth line guys, but the right side's pretty jammed up. Kyra can play center or left wing, but very inconsistent. I think he's fell out of favor here with the fan base. Chiasson is what he is. He's good on the power play. He's a good veteran. He was good in the bubble playoffs with James Neal. That one game they did win was due to those two players. So if you had to trade one, who would you rather move, Alex Chiasson or JJ Carr? I'll just give you their contracts right now. Chiasson has 1 year left at 2.15. He's 30 years old. JJ Carr also has 1 year left at 1.2. 26 years old. I mean, you will probably want to move out to 2 million, but Chiasson is a better player than Carr. So yeah, fun question. Chiasson or Carr, who would you move out? Remember, you can catch me on the Corey Graham Show tonight on TSN 1260 from 6 to 9. Right now, we have Jonathan Davis from Sirius XM NHL joining us at 6:20. Mountain time, go around the NHL. Should be a fun show. We'll have Hernan's World and all that, so make sure to tune in to TSN 1260 starting at 6 o'clock. But coming up next, we'll get to Alex Thomas from the Oilers Rig as we talk Edmonton Oilers. You're listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And I'm pleased to welcome into the Locked On Oilers podcast Alex Thomas from the Oilers Rig and hockey broadcaster. You can connect with Alex at Alex_Thomas14. Alex, we're going to start off with this. I know you're a Boston guy. We were just talking off air for a bit and born and raised there. And I've seen your Twitter and you have the Oilers Rig and all that. How does a Boston guy become an Edmonton Oilers, like, big-time fan?
Well, I mean, there was no Bruins pole in the house really growing up. I mean, my dad was a Whalers fan, and then they left town in the 90s, really, before I can really remember. I think it was 96, so I think I was 2 years old when the Whalers left town. But maybe three. But, you know, Whalers left town, and my dad kind of followed him a little bit down the Carolina, and then there was, you know, a little Bruins pull for my grandfather. But it seems like me and all my brothers kind of picked our own teams. I mean, I ended up with the Oilers. You know, that's probably Ryan Smith's fault in the old Gear 3rd jerseys.
Oh, nice.
And then, you know, I got a brother who ended up being a Flyers fan, another one who ended up being a Hurricanes fan. So we're kind of all over the place in the house, but it's definitely those Gear 3rd jerseys in Ryan Smith's fault why I ended up becoming an Oilers fan.
People are going to love hearing that because Ryan Smith here is a hero. You probably know that.
Oh, absolutely.
And just on the Hartford, like, I'm obviously a little bit older than you. I love the Oilers too. They were like my second team just because of the jerseys. I love that green, and I love Peter Sidorkiewicz in net with all the white pads. Good times. Sticking with 94, it's been a big topic here on one of my other podcasts that I work on because of Tyson Barry. He did select to wear number 22, but he did wear 94. Are you okay with another player wearing 94? Do you think that number needs to be maybe not retired, but just kind of maybe a wall of honor or something like that?
It would have been weird, but I would have been okay with it. Like, I used the example out here when I first saw, oh, there's a possibility he might wear number 94. And the example that I thought of was, in football, when Julian Edelman took number 11 here in New England, people were beside themselves because, you know, that was Drew Bledsoe's number and it wasn't retired and it probably never will be retired. But, you know, it was weird because, you know, Edelman comes around in the late 2000s and is the first guy to wear at 11 since Bledsoe leaves town. And people thought that was sacrilegious. And then, you know, you take a look at, you know, 2 years down the road and everybody seems to forget about it. So I think there probably would have been an outcry at first, but I think people would have gotten over it pretty quickly, especially if Barry got out to a hot start. And it would have been weird, like I said, but at the end of the day, I don't think I would have had a problem with that.
You know, Kenny Holland now, you know, in his second offseason, I think he's done some great work by having not a lot of money and not a lot of assets to move as well. Just as a whole body of work so far for Kenny Holland, what have you thought of his job so far here in Edmonton?
Overall, I think it's been pretty good. I think the second offseason has been better than the first one. And you know, when you get context with the McDavid injury last summer, you know, I think keeping his powder dry was probably the smart move last July, looking back on it now. But, you know, I look at what he's done here, and it's been a roller coaster, right? I mean, you go into October 9th, and I thought it was pretty much a lock that, you know, they were going to invest a long-term big-money contract in Jacob Markstrom, and that doesn't end up happening, but they end up investing in Tyson Barrie, Kyle Turris, and Tyler Ennis, who were three players who I really like. You know, I was all for re-signing Ennis. I think he was a good fit here. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the game, and I think they took a good gamble on both Turris and Barrie, who I think are going to fit in well here. So I actually think he's made the team better, especially up front. I think their forward group is maybe missing one piece, but overall I think it's a much better group than they came into the season with a year ago. You know, I'm not sure what to think about the defense, just as, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like without Klefbom, and that's not Holland's fault. That's just a real unfortunate break for the Oilers. But overall, I like the work that he's done. I was a little surprised they brought Mike Smith back, even though the number is less than the year prior. I just, you know, I don't care who the goalie is when you get to a certain age, Father Time's unbeaten, right? So for me, I don't think it's reasonable to expect much of a bounce back year from Smith, and I think that there's really limited potential there. But again, if this is a 62-game season, and you play Mikko Koskinen for 42 games and Mike Smith for 20 games, I think you should be okay in goal. And it's only a one-year contract. So even the one move that I didn't like, I think at the end of the day, it's not a long-term deal. You know, depending on how many games there are this season, the risk could be minimal.
When you look at one of the players he did bring in, he brought in Kyle Turris, got a two-year deal, not for a lot of money. This guy's a player, right? Like, he's not a project. He's a veteran guy who just had some bad seasons in Nashville. It just didn't work out, and he admitted to that. What's a good season for Kyle Turris in his first year in Edmonton look like for you?
You know, I think if he can come in here and score, and I know from a third line that this is probably – on the higher end, but if he can come in here and produce between 30 and 40 points against, you know, the lesser opposition playing that third line center role. And if, aside from stats, if he can help Puljujärvi come back over here to North America and establish himself and, you know, and show more than he did in his first stint here, I think that would be a resounding success. Honestly, I'm expecting somewhere in that 30-point range from Turris. I think he's a good player who was in a bad situation. I mean, I don't know any forward who looked good in Nashville last year. So I don't know if that was just a down year for the Predators, and if it was just a bad fit between player and team. But I think between that 30 and 40 point range, I think if he does that and that third line is close in terms of 5-on-5 goal scoring, if they're close to 50%, I think people are going to look at that and say it was an upgrade over what they had last season. And at the cap, it was a successful signing. I like the bet. I really do. I think, you know, that's the kind of guy that the Oilers were missing last season. They haven't had that third line center since they traded away Ryan Strome.
So we'll get into that third line here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. More with Alex Thomas from the Oilers Rake here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. We're back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, of course, from TSN 1260. You can connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man, as I'm joined by Alex Thomas from the Oilers Rake and a hockey broadcaster. You can connect with him on Twitter at Alex_Thomas14. We were talking about Kyle Turris. Now, I agree. I think 30 to 40 points, we'd be pretty happy here in Edmonton with those kind of numbers for Kyle Turris. And just to add to that, this third line is a lot more skilled than what we saw last year. Like, it's going to be Jesse Puljujärvi more than likely on his right side. And then on the left, it's either going to be, I think, Tyler Ennis or James Neal. Just sticking with Jesse Puljujärvi, your expectations for this guy. I mean, coming over from Finland, he's putting up points there. Obviously, a very good league in its own right. But Jesse Puljujärvi is coming back on a two-year deal. He's got the skill. He's still very young. Expectations for the young Finn.
See, I'm excited to have him back, so I try to temper the expectations that I have, because I don't want to, you know, look at, oh, we're going to get a superstar player here, because I don't know if that's what he's going to be. But I think he's a competent top six forward in the NHL. I think that's what he's going to end up being, probably a good second line winger. So I look at what I expect out of him this coming season. You know, I'd like to see him hit that 10 goal plateau. I'd like to see him play responsible two-way hockey, and I'd like to see him earn his way up the lineup towards the end of the season. I don't necessarily know, because he's playing in that third line role, if the traditional goals, assists, points is going to be a good way to judge him this year. But if you see Dave Tippett putting him up, I don't know, let's say Zach Kassian has a cold stretch on McDavid's wing. If Puljujarvi's the guy and not Tyler Ennis that they shift up there, then that tells you something. And that tells you that he's having a successful season. Especially too, you know, I mean, his hockey IQ is always talked about is something that, you know, he can be a smart player and he's been that in Finland. So if he's if he ends up finding a role in the penalty kill, that tells me that he's adapting too. So it's going to be small things that I look at like that to see his success. But, you know, I think 10 goals over the course of a full season playing in a third line role is probably a realistic and fair bet for a guy with the shot and skill set that he has.
When you look at Jesse Puljujärvi when he left and now we're going to see him again, what's the one thing that Jesse Puljujärvi had to work on the most in your opinion?
I think it's that consistency in the offensive zone. Like I know a lot of people said, oh, he's not a smart player, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. But watching him during his first stint with the Oilers, I thought he was actually a pretty good defensive forward. I thought he did the right things. I thought the puck was moving in the right direction when he was on the ice. It just seemed like he couldn't get into those positions to score. So for me, it's being in the right place in the offensive zone. It's finding those little seams against the opposition's defense where he's going to be able to get that shot off and use the shot that he has, which he's proven over in Finland that it's a lethal shot and he can score on it. So it's going to be finding those little areas in the offensive zone, and it's going to be building consistency and chemistry with his line mates. You know, part of that's going to be on the coaching staff. They can't be moving him around every other night to a different line because you're just not putting a guy in a position to succeed when you do that. And I don't think Dave Tippett will do that. I think he's going to be more patient with him. I think Tippett's going to find the right spot for him. But for me, it's that awareness in the offensive zone. Like, I think he's a good two-way player, but he just needs to find that offensive zone awareness, and I think the numbers will follow.
Joined by Alex Thomas from the Oilers rig here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. So let's go over to the D-core. And I mean, I think the six are set in stone right now to start the season. We'll see if Ken Holland can bring in a 6-7 guy that can kind of go in and out of the lineup. And also, we're going to see if there's going to be expanded rosters, an AHL season. What does that mean for Evan Bouchard? But there's one player that I think is a wild card here, and it's Caleb Jones. I've liked what I've seen from this guy. You know, he hasn't been an everyday guy for the Edmonton Oilers, but he got the 2-year deal. I like the way he skates. He moves the puck well. Caleb Jones. Can he take that next step this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think he has to take that next step, right? I mean, I'm looking at the depth chart right now, and you know, I know Chris Russell gets a lot of criticism because of his contract and some of it fair, but you know, he's a good third pairing defenseman, but I don't think at this stage of his career he's a top four guy. So that's going to leave Caleb Jones to fill that role behind Darnell Nurse now on the left side of the Oilers defense. And I really like the way
Alex,
he plays.
Alex, sorry, quickly. Do you have Caleb Jones with Barry or Larson?
Ooh, I think I have him with Larson, and then I have Barry on the third pairing to start. Yeah, so I think that would be my D pairings. Would be Nurse, Bear, Jones, Larson, and Russell, Barry. I think Jones with a shutdown D like Larson, because when he's healthy, Adam Larson's a good player. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we just haven't seen him healthy now in 3 years. But I like Jones' skating ability. I like his ability to move the puck. In the transition game, he's been a really underrated player. I know he was slow in the return to play because of, you know, he ended up testing positive for COVID and was slow to get back on the ice. And I don't think he ever really got a chance to get going. But when he did get into games against Chicago, I thought he was their best defenseman in that series. And, you know, for me, he's a guy that I think has potential and kind of got overshadowed by Ethan Bear's terrific season a year ago. But remember, Caleb Jones was a pretty good player for this team during the 2018-19 season. And he's proven to be an impact player at the AHL level. In fact, in a third pairing role, his numbers were better than what Darnell Nurse put up in a third pairing role back in 2016-17. So I think he's got the potential to play that top four role. And he's going to have to show it this season if this team's going to have success. But I like that bet, especially on the contract he's on. And he's a player that I think with a veteran shutdown D can be good for this team.
Yeah, that's the same pairings I had. I just think it's nice. Like, and now Kelly Jones, we don't know what his offensive upside is, but he's a little more offensive than Larson. That's why I have him like one defenseman and one more little offensive guy. So we agree on that. And when you going forward here, like Klefbom more than likely to miss the season, you're going to have that money to use. Is it realistic that the Oilers can still go out and get a quality forward, or do you still think that money needs to be spent on helping out that defense? Like I said, a 6-7 guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could honestly, at this point, I think you could probably get both, right? Like, I think the only player out there that's going to cost money is maybe Mike Hoffman. And I don't think he's a terrific fit for the Oilers because of what he is at 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, would it be a shocker if, for example, you could get – I'm going to throw these two names out there, Dominique Cahoon and Slater Cuckoo. If you could get those two guys signed, yeah. I bet you could get them both signed for under $2.5 million for the upcoming season because of the way that the market is right now. And there's a lot of good players still out
there.
So,
is.
I mean, if you know you're not going to have Klefbom for the entirety of the upcoming season, which unfortunately looks like it's going to be the case, maybe you get those two guys to come into training camp, go through camp on a PTO with a handshake agreement that, okay, once we submit our final roster and we're under the cap and we can put Klefbom and LTIR, here's the one-year deal we'll sign with you both, and go from there. So, I mean, that could be an avenue that Holland uses. I know everybody's saying he's done and he's hinted that he's done, but you know, I think they're one winger on the left side away from having a really good forward group. And it's possible that William Lajesson, by the way, ends up being like that sixth, seventh defenseman on this team this year. But Cuckoo's a good guy. There's guys out there. You're right. And I think that they could add one. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did. They added a tweener, so to speak, that can play both in Bakersfield and in Edmonton.
One last one here for you, Alex. When you look at the right side, I think we all have Cassian Yamamoto, Jesse Puljujärvi, and Josh Archibald leaving. Alex Chiasson out. I know he's an important part on the power play. Him and James Neal share that duty in front of the net, and they both do it very well. But if there's one trade out there, do you think Alex Chiasson is movable?
Yeah, I do. At least, you know, back in September, I know that the Oilers and Bruins had talked about an Alex Chiasson trade. And I know the Oilers have long liked Anders Bjork. And this is going back, you know, prior to Ken Holland being here. And I think there's a Keith Gretzky influence in that. You know, Gretzky was part of the Bruins when they brought Anders Bjork into that system. Obviously, that trade didn't happen. The Bruins are going through some things of their own right now. I believe the Bruins are working on an internal salary cap for the upcoming season. And they're focused on defense right now with Torrey Krug leaving town. And I'm not sure what's going to happen with Zdeno Chara. But I do know that's a team that had talked about Alex Chiasson. I thought Montreal might be a fit too, but obviously with their moves this offseason, that's probably not realistic at this point. But I do think he's a movable contract. You know, I think you look at it right now, he's a guy that I think could be outside of the power play. I think at 5-on-5, he could also be valuable to the Oilers. I mean, I thought he and James Neal had good chemistry. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if they fit as wingers for Kyle Turris. Obviously there's kind of a cluster of right wingers there that there's too many and there's too few roster spots. Maybe Chiasson moves over to the left wing and Jujhar Kara starts the season as an extra forward. So there's that possibility too, but I do think that contract's tradable. And I still wouldn't be shocked if Ken Holland came out with a trade here of a right winger for a left winger. I think that's kind of been a goal of theirs going back to September. But with the market right now and the NHL's economy, I just don't think that there's been that fit. But I still think they're looking, and I go back to that Chiasson for Bjork kind of deal as maybe a template if they were to move Alex Chiasson. It's going to be probably money in, money out there. I doubt they're able to dump him for a pick and move that contract off. But there are teams that do like Chiasson, and understandably so. It's just his skill set is duplicated in a much more expensive way with James Neal on this roster.
Yeah, he's only 30 years old. He's at 2.15 for one more year. So I think there would be some teams interested in him. And I bring him up because I don't think Haas or Nygaard, a lot of teams are lining up to like, hey, give me this guy. And then you have Patrick Russell who signed also, who Dave Tippett absolutely loves. So those three guys, I just don't see many teams lining up. And that's why I bring up Chiasson because he's kind of the odd man out right now. Or Kyra. Alex, this has been great. Where can people find your work?
All over the place, actually. So on Twitter, it's Alex_Thomas14. And then all my Oilers stuff is over at the Oilers Rig. Been doing some stuff as well with the Boston Bruins over at Boston Hockey Now. As well during this last about season and a half. And a lot of women's hockey stuff too, gotten involved with the PWHPA. And that's over at the Women's Hockey Tribune and with the PWHPA's New Hampshire regional training hub as well. The season hopefully starting up in 2021 in January. So yeah, those are really the three places. And then, you know, the hopefully soon broadcast. It will be on Twitter, but of course, everything's up in the air right now.
Alex, this has been great. It's been a fun chat, and I love that you're a Boston guy and you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, and that's all because of our boy Ryan Smith. Thank you for taking the time to join us today here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. All the best.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Big thanks to Alex Thomas for joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Of course, he's from the Oilers rig and a hockey broadcaster. You can connect with him on Twitter at Alex_Thomas14. Pretty cool story that his family all went different directions when they became fans, when Hartford kind of left the NHL and he ended up with the Edmonton Oilers due to Ryan Smith. I mean, right on. I mean, no better player than to suck you into being an Edmonton Oilers fan. Great conversation there. Great insight from Alex. Once again, you can connect with him on Twitter at Alex_Thomas14. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Locked On Oilers podcast as producer Francisco is flashing the red light. It's been a fun week. Hopefully we get some more NHL news, Edmonton Oilers news next week. Remember to connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan, at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods. And don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. And while you're there, please leave us a great review. This has been fun. Check out all of this past week's episodes. I appreciate the downloads. Keep those coming. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Wear a mask. I'm Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. We'll chat next week.